Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to continue this morning in our study. We just started this study yesterday, so if you are just now tuning in, you haven't gotten too far behind. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to begin with verse 3, actually, to kind of overlap it, because verse 3, the sentence begun in verse 3, does not end at the conclusion of verse 3, but continues on through 4. 5, and doesn't stop. You don't have an ending period till verse 6. So just for the sake of continuity of thought, we'll start with verse 3. Oh, incidentally, let me mention this. For those of you who find these studies beneficial, not only for yourself, but you think it might be of benefit to somebody else, I encourage them to tune in to the broadcast each morning, 9 o'clock here, 10:30 on the AM dial. Now, as you have followed these studies, sometimes people say, you know, I have a cousin that lives, or a parent or a child, or I know somebody that would, I think they'd really benefit from this. It's too bad they're not in the listening area. Well, indeed, but we can make it possible for them to hear them. We can make these available, these broadcasts available to you in the form of audio cassettes or CDs. They are, the sets are lengthy. When you're dealing with a Bible study for an entire book, and you're limited to about what amounts to a 14-minute time frame, it's very difficult to get very far in one broadcast and then find that it's time to stop, and then you start over again the next time. What I'm saying is these, we're not talking about, a set of 4 or 6 tapes. Just for an example, the book of Romans, the complete study on Romans, that was 38 audio cassette tapes. Now, that's a stack of tapes. It is more convenient, I suppose, and still, it's still quite a lot. That same study is available on 18 CDs, 18 compact discs. We make them available at cost. We're not trying to make anybody rich on this. But if you think that these studies would be helpful to you or to some loved one or a friend you'd like to send them to, it is a means whereby you can provide them with a resource that will help them to grow in their understanding of the Word of God. All right, I've taken plenty of time for that. Let's go now to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, I'm going to continue reading till we get to the end of the sentence so that you kind of get the idea of where this is going, okay? We're going to deal with 4, but let's continue. Back up a little bit. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now, there was one thing that I would like to point out, and I suspect the way I read it, the inflection of my voice, tips you off. The thing that I would have you to notice is the personal pronouns, masculine, third person, but nonetheless masculine. You will notice, please, according as he hath chosen us, that we should be, let's drop down to verse 5, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. I'm emphasizing these, or showing these, highlighting these occurrences of these pronouns, to emphasize the fact that salvation belongs to God. This is not something that you stumbled into. This is not something that Uncle Harry concocted. This is not something that the disciples made up hundreds of years ago. But rather, This is something that God is responsible for. Now, I say that because you will hear so much good old boy religion. You hear it in country music. I was channel hopping the other day, station hopping on the radio, and I was listening. There was a I don't even know who it was that was singing the song, don't know the name of the song, but there was a line in it talking about where he was from, like chicken and cornbread, and got on down in the line there, and working real hard to get to heaven. Working hard to get to heaven. My friend, you don't work hard to get to heaven. Salvation belongs to God. He is the one that does the saving. He is the one that does the keeping. Salvation belongs to Him. Now, I point your attention to the Scripture because, you see, I realize that the bulk of the preaching that has been done within our listening area for the last couple of generations has emphasized the necessity of good works in order to, quote, keep it, not to, quote, lose it. Talking about your salvation. Notice, please, salvation is not something you obtained on your own. You didn't help God save you. You didn't help Jesus die on that cross. The Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. None. So unless your blood was shed on that cross, there's nothing in the world you can do about your sin problem. God did it. He took care of it through the blood of His only begotten Son. Now, let's come back to what it says here in Ephesians chapter 1. According as He hath chosen us. I remember years ago, I grew up in a little country church, and there's a certain style of music that was and still is popular in certain kinds of churches, where feeling is emphasized and the Scripture is not the final authority, but rather how I feel about something. This kind of philosophy, this kind of position is very, very frequently found. Summed up in a song I remember singing in the choir, the words went, I searched and I searched for a road that led to glory. No, you didn't. You didn't. I remember the first sermon I ever preached. I had a lady come down the aisle, and she said, oh, I've tried, and I've tried, and I've tried to get God to save me, and I... No, she didn't. Jesus said, He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, don't get me wrong. There are people who will search from a standpoint of religion. There are folks who will, to the best of their understanding, try to find God, but He is not the God of the Bible. You look at in Revelation chapter 3, at the conclusion of the chapter, Jesus speaking says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in. You see, the only part that you play in the matter of your salvation is whether or not you'll accept it. He provides it. You have to accept it. You see, a man guilty of the most heinous crime can be on death row, can be sentenced to die, and can be on his way to the gas chamber or to the electric chair. The governor may pardon that individual for whatever reason. He may pardon him. But that man will still die in the electric chair or in the gas chamber if he does not accept that pardon. You see, tied in with the business of a pardon and accepting a pardon is the unconditional admission of your guilt. A man who is innocent does not need a pardon. On the other hand, you're on your way to the death chamber. You want to live? You want to die. I'll die an innocent man before I admit to something I didn't do. Well, that's your prerogative. But my friend, God provides the pardon. He says, here it is. I'll pardon your sins. But you will not get any good from that pardon. you will receive no benefit of that pardon if you, in accepting it, try to hedge on this matter of, well, I wasn't all that bad. You can try to make yourself look as good as you want to anybody else, but you cannot pull that on God. He won't buy it. He says here, according as he hath chosen us in him, who? In Christ. You're chosen in Christ. In him. Why? Why did God choose you? Have you ever wondered about that? I don't know how profitable it is. You can spend an awful lot of time thinking about this, especially if you approach it from a biblical standpoint. When you recognize it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, it's not because we're so good looking, it's not because we're so special. That's one of the things you've got to watch out in modern preaching today, this idea that you're special. You were so special. The only way God could save you was to allow his son to die for you. That's hogwash. My friend Jesus Christ died to save you, and when you accept him, then you become special. He loved you, yes, but he loved the entire world as well, and whosoever will. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Not until. According as he hath chosen us in him, notice please the time frame, before the foundation of the world. Before your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpappy was born, you were known to God. Before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye, he knew you. From before the foundation of the world. Notice, please, not only did he know you, he chose you. He elected you. In him, he elected me, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Notice, please, the next word, that. We are chosen for a specific purpose. That, so that we should be. This was a plan, you see. This was the blueprint. For us, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose us, and in love he selected us. We are supposed to be holy and without blame. Verse 5 says, having predestinated us, who did? He did. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Your relationship that you have with God is available only through Jesus Christ. There are people who ought to know better. I named Billy Graham as one of them because in an interview in a national magazine, he made the statement that he thought it was possible that people who had never heard the name of Jesus Christ could get to heaven. Now, my friend, the Bible says there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is that name which is above every name. It is at the name of Jesus Christ that every knee will bow, every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father. Hey, I don't care who it is. I don't care what kind of big shot name or persona or status they have. If they don't line up with the Word of God, they're wrong. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. His will, not yours. His will. Well, that's about it for today. I'm going to have to sign off now. I hope you'll join me for the next edition of The Bible Says. We'll pick it up here with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. See you then.